Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, electronics recycling innovator Eric Lundgren. With Gina Grant on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and a review of Deadpool 2 in Hooray for Baldywood. And now, I'm going to save some electronic waste by skipping the mediocre intro joke that Mike Lynch wrote. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. I've chosen to get it on, Mandy. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for all that you do. And I'll tell you why. We're so thankful for our audience. Thanks for sharing the product. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
He's just a complete miserable asshole.
Mm. Not everybody thinks that.
John Lewin.
Big response from that.
So just arguing with Max Pat about that. But
I heard you tell him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. A little confusion. Look, I'm old school, and I'll get into that in a second. The point is John wrote an email, which is electronic mailing device. He sent an email to Mike August, or he possibly told Mike August personally over the phone, or could have been both, emailing
maybe a lunch
and a conversation. But his experience with our audience, and Max Zapata will find it and read it into the microphone, was at least this is what Mike August shared with me this afternoon.
All right, the subject line is, John Lewin has received overwhelming amount of response from the Corolla appearance. And then it goes on, more so than any past appearances he has made on either Dateline or local NBC News. He's asking to come back on in a month when
right,
Governor Brown
we'll
has...
we'll get in that in a minute.
Yeah. Hashtag bad Bradford.
But it's nice that we're able to move the needle here, more than a show like national show like
traditional
Dateline.
Media.
Big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So take that as a compliment. And thank you all who listen and react. You know, I've always sort of thought the New World Order, as it pertained to media, it was always, oh, the Dukes of Hazzard has 38 million viewers on a Thursday night or Friday night or whenever that show was on. God, could you imagine doing that show today? So insane.
The General Lee.
Just a General Lee.
They tried to make a movie out of it 8 years ago.
That's how we told time. My mom said she'd be back in One Dukes of Hazzard.
We watched a lot of it. I think I watched every episode. Everything was so mindless. It was also just the idea of, I would always babysit and watch the color TV set they had next door, and it was Dukes of Hazzard, and then sometimes Love Boat and Fantasy Island and Heart to Heart and all stuff, and it's like you just couldn't have gotten further away from my childhood than whatever was going on in Hazzard with the Duke boys, and or what was going on the Princess Cruise or Fantasy Island or Heart to Heart. Like, I would just sit there. And it didn't even, it just seemed like pure, Dukes of Hazzard, and the Love Boat seemed as fantastical as Fantasy Island, is equally as implausible.
Right. Like, just a weekend
mission to Mars.
Yeah. They're both a mission to Mars in a refrigerator box. But anyway, the old world was, you got 38 million viewers and nobody cares, and the New World Order is you have hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands or whatever it is, but they're motivated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you think about it, what is...
They're seeking you out.
What's 38 million passive viewers who never shoot a text or never shoot a hashtag tweet or whatever to the governor, or who don't participate. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Somebody says they wanted to make some comments on my Milgard handles, and they have a fix. Now, this is my sliding door that I just put in where you can't tell if the door's locked or unlocked because the handle has no indication, and it's just white on white. And it's a slight position change, but not much. That person just fell off. Oh, Jesus Christ. I was prepared to be underwhelmed.
It moved to four, line four.
Line four.
Oh, they moved the line four.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. Still prepared to be underwhelmed. but I do like... I like an answer. I think I shared this with you. I was complaining about I think I shared this. I was complaining about changing the numbers on the race cars, and somebody chimed in and said, it's not for the lap counter. It's for the corner workers or the emergency workers or how the people that grid you up. They need to know what numbers cars got into an accident or what number car it lines up on the grid this way. And I sort of remember going, okay.
Okay.
I remember.
Checks out.
Yeah.
Semi-satisfying.
It was an answer. I'm happy to hear it. Brent. 29.
Hey, man, get it on.
Yeah, from Oahu. Is that Oahu?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Absolutely.
I really read it. What's going on, man?
Hey, so you said you got the Milgard Smart Touch handles yesterday on your new doors?
I did.
All right. So there's three types of handles that come with any one of their patio doors. So you got a ADA handle, a Smart Touch handle, and a Classic D handle. Based off of what you're talking about, it sounds like you want the Classic D handle that has that little switch that goes up and down.
Yeah.
That'll indicate whether it's locked or not.
Too late for that.
So on that, so the boring holes on all the handles are actually identical. So what you can do is you can swap out the old
I can retrofit my brand new doors. I just bought the top of the line.
You can get a toothpick with a little umbrella on the end of it, stick it in there.
No, I mean, I get what Brent's saying. Brent is saying here's what all companies that have to manufacture things do. Whether it's an automotive manufacturer or a sliding door manufacturer, they try to make as many of the same components fit with the same, the same roller skates and keys or penises and vaginas or whatever metaphor you want to use, because it's just easier on them. So they would make, if I pulled apart the handle and the locking mechanism and the whatever, I could go with a retrofit of a older style or a lesser, possibly cheaper style locking mechanism that would be more traditional. One could see if something was turned up versus turned down. Yes.
But then you're not getting what you want.
Yes, that's correct.
Right. But it's just a lot of effort and a lot of money, and it still doesn't excuse them for not addressing this super apparent problem, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Good.
Mahalo.
That was a half an answer, but I'm still somewhat devastated.
It doesn't alleviate the pain.
Yeah. I got some other calls here, but I wanted to, I laugh because I go to Sunny Natalia's. Well, this is the last one. Hopefully, their sixth grade open house, and you get to go.
Hopefully, the last sixth grade open house.
Yeah,
there's always a chance. Could be another
next
one
next year.
There's
depends how finals go.
And my kids go to school with. They have two. There's two sets of kids they go with. They go with Asian kids and the round eye that are struggling mightily to keep up with the Asian kids. Mm-hmm. And then there's my kids.
Okay.
It's all.
So they're behind the group that's struggling.
They're the outliers.
They're basically, scholastically, they're sort of the Cato Kalin of the school, you know, hanging around. Everyone likes Kate. Yeah. Great to drink a beer with.
Yeah.
Everyone, you can crash in my bunkhouse.
America's house guests.
Yeah, that's kind of them. But no one's really sure what they do.
Yeah.
And it's
they're still here.
And it's probably not a lot, but everyone seems to like them. Okay,
no answer is going to be satisfying. What does Kato do?
This and that. He wanted to start a snowboard design company a while back. I like when they go back a few years. Yeah. He wanted to start his old bonsai tree business. That's a bad sign, by the way. When someone goes, what do you do? If you'd asked me that in March of 2007, I would have said.
I was trying to get this off the ground. Yeah, when you go back to failed projects that never got off the ground
also,
as evidence of what they do.
What's worse then to, you tell me the answer, it's worse. I used to have this joke on Loveline, which is worse answer, like when the dad is asking the new guy's dating star, like, what do you do? Right now. Right now, it's never the right one.
That's not good.
But by the way, that is what you do. I don't know if that's the worst one, or is this worse? What do I do, or what do I want to do?
Oh.
That's bad. But now, I'm going to add, what did I want to?
So what did I once want to do?
Yeah, like when they go, so what do you do? Well, what I wanted to do is I was trying to start my own label.
Yeah.
Well, rap label, hip hop,
I was trying to get off the
ground.
That one's definitely the worst.
Right. what I wanted to do, because that means we're now living 4 years ago. Exactly. We're still unsuccessful.
What you wanted to do in the past trumps at least having goals.
Yeah, exactly. At least the ambition. You know, that's a
I work at
off.
McDonald's, but I'm trying to get my startup off the ground. Okay, tell me about that.
Okay.
That's a clear third. The other two are neck and neck.
Yeah.
Right. I get it. All right, so I'll tell you what Sonny wanted to do in a minute. It cracks me up. First, I'll tell you about Z-Clip. I want to thank them for sponsoring this half of the show. Go to zclip.com, enter Adam for 15% off. Dollar Shave Club, go to dollarshaveclub.com/Adam. And Castrol Edge, we love these guys. Shoot us a tweet with your car question. We got our Deadpool review.
Deadpool too,
Bollywood,
yeah.
Excited about this. Mm-hmm. So I don't go to the school very often. What? And and then I show up and I start, and they have these big projects. These projects are on display. First one, Max Pata, be funny. It's just one is just a written thing. It was I don't know if it's the Egyptians or the Indians or something like that. It's just pictures. You see all this fine work. You're blown away by the penmanship, mm-hmm, and how precise and tidy everything is. And then you get to the one that looked like somebody wiped their ass with craft paper. And sure. I go, who's loser kid?
Do you have to ask?
I can kid because I know he doesn't care. Yeah. So he mails everything
in. You beat it out of him. You have the tender age of 11.
Yeah. So there's that. But the best one was everybody had a project. The project was you take something like an iPhone or a jelly donut or a pack of gum, or I think Natalia did a Hershey's bar, and then you make this like beyond full scale representation of these things.
That's
so
cool.
So the donut is 2 foot across, uh-huh, and the icebreakers mints are 2 foot across, and you take all these things that have Sour Patch boxes the size of a refrigerator, the size of a television box.
Is this a lesson in ratio? What's the point?
It's building something.
Okay.
I don't know. Everyone's got to keep busy before we die.
Right up daddy-daughter alley. Come on, man.
Right.
They're building something.
It looks like a hemorrhoid donut.
So they're
it's
building
a little bit of construction.
Some people taking things like a Tic Tac box, and then they make one that's three foot tall.
Okay.
All right. I have to share with you Sonny's offering in this department. He made a domino with nothing on it.
Wait, is it just the domino?
Yeah, it's in
there.
You'll
die,
see a
not
picture.
The Lego.
Oh, no.
You'll see of him leaning against the Lego, which is quite a contrast to whatever achievement
the
that
Lego
point.
The Lego behind it looks sharp.
Yes. Sonny took what is essentially the lid to a shoebox, painted it white, and put one piece of electrical tape on it, and then put the tile down next to it. The idea that this kid did a domino, but picked a blank domino, which I didn't even know they had dominoes. That's a strong effort.
There was no milkman involved. This is your boy.
Oh, yeah. That's a zero effort. Later, Max Patty, you can see toward the earliest pictures of the school evening.
He gamed the system pretty good by going with the black domino. You can't fault him. You can't fault him for that.
The shoebox lid.
It's a perfect replica. It's a perfect replica.
Yeah.
I know. To be fair to him, he should have used a shoebox lid. He ended up constructing basically what was a shoebox lid out of a couple pieces of cardboard. Okay. He probably wanted to spray paint. He probably should have just got Rob at the other shop to spray paint a shoebox lid white.
It reminds me of the era in which I would go for Halloween for many years in my early, mid, late 20s and go with, because October, you know, football season, I just wear whatever football jersey I wore to the USC game the previous week. It's like, oh, I'm Reggie Bush again. Huh? Like, it's a low effort.
Low effort.
Yeah.
Low effort. Yes. Dawson, sorry.
Oh, has Sonny ever played dominoes?
I do not believe he has.
Because that's a good domino to have.
Nothing on it?
It's how to play
dominoes?
Ball. Yeah.
It's just a waste of my time.
Yeah, I went to college.
Is it like a free-for-all
Wait
domino?
A minute. Is a domino, let me ask you this. Domino's a black thing. It's a prison thing.
I've played
with
black
people. I'm getting a little
people.
Redundant. Is it also just sort of a beach town thing? Because
it's leisure time.
It is a leisure sport.
I get it, yeah, but I mean, I'm wondering
the ultimate.
I'm wondering if it's a black man, white man thing. Like, I wonder if it's a super beachy dude thing.
I don't know.
I feel like, I don't know, you get inland a little. It never came up. Dominoes never came up in my world. Just but on the other hand, there's stuff that goes on. Like the bunghole, beanball, beanbag toss, and cornhole, and whatever it is.
Yes.
Bunghole.
Cornhole.
I don't know what's worse, honestly, because a bung actually is a thing that you plug a hole with.
That's
like,
right.
I can go down to...
barrels have a bunghole.
Right. I could go...
They do.
Possibly purchase a bung plug at Home Depot or something. I don't know about finding a cornhole plug.
Be sure to enunciate.
I shall enunciate.
Like a bung plug.
So, either way, there's stuff that goes on down by the beach that doesn't really happen as much inland a few miles. I wonder if anyone listening, tell us what your experience with
having lived on the beach for 3 years, I've never seen anyone play dominoes.
Oh, that's a different beach.
I did learn dominoes at UC Davis from my black neighbor.
Oh, well, everything's now making sense for me.
Did you play chicken foot? Is that what everyone plays?
Gina.
Well, that's what it's called, right? That's the game.
As long as you learn from a black guy.
I did.
Yeah.
Because at first it was like UC Davis down up north and blah, blah, blah. But now as long as a black man was introduced in this equation, I can sleep tonight.
He's the conduit.
Yeah, the double blank is a scoring bone because if somebody before you has like, it's scored in multiples of five, you count up all the dots on all the ends.
Yeah.
And if somebody lays down dominoes that add up to 20 and there's a blank showing, you just throw that blank down and you get 20 points too.
I'll be the king of the yard.
There you go.
All right, Max Bassar, did you... I
guess we'll just scroll through them.
Yeah, well, the scroll. Go ahead and scroll, please scroll. So you can see. Sorry, go.
These are diary.
Go back.
Great.
One.
Those look great.
Go, just go back one.
Reports.
Or one more. Or go the other direction. Go find a good one.
It's like a lot of kids put a lot of time and effort into.
Find a nice close one. Go ahead.
Has Chinese characters.
All right. China, Egypt, obviously.
Yeah, people put some time into this, and it looked well put together.
Like a textbook.
Yeah, and then if you go to Sonny's was the first one, which is I don't know who that kid was. Sonny's.
Oh, man. What's happening?
I don't know. I don't know. There's a picture of a kid in a gang or something. Can you go to Sonny's, please? Yeah, this is what I'm talking about when I said go the first one.
This is the first one.
He meant the artwork.
Stop beating on technicalities. Remember the first one. Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. I see.
Because we're looking at something else.
I see.
I'm saying.
My bad.
Yes. The first one in this department. Sorry.
Did he, did you give him NyQuil the other night? Because this looks like a NyQuil drawing.
His stuff just looks like fried ass.
The best is he didn't even pretend. It's a stick figure. He drew stick figures. They did not even pretend.
I think one of the guys has a Fu Manchu.
Yeah, that's Genghis Khan.
What, wait, there's a quote on there.
I'm just saying I shouldn't be able to pick out my son's crappy offerings from across the room.
You honed in on it pretty quick.
I walked right up to him. I was like, oh, Jesus.
Wait, there's dialogue. See the dude with the little mustache on the first page? Yeah. He's saying, I will rule! Exclamation point.
You know what I feel like I should do? Like, I feel like... You know when they have a really bad like motorcycle accident on the side of the freeway and there's a corpse or something and they'll literally like put up like
the curtain.
A screen,
yeah.
A curtain around it? I should do that for the Asian parents. Like, you shouldn't have to be subjected to my child's horrible offerings, his burnt
this
offerings.
This is for professionals.
This could even bring you down a couple of IQ points simply by being exposed to this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like ultraviolet rays.
That would be
something.
The humane thing to do.
Yeah. Scroll on for a second, Max. You really should see how well put together everyone else's
stuff is. Beautiful.
It is clearly a cut below.
Wow. Yeah, just the one cut?
Those are like sophisticated children.
Yeah, a couple cuts. You're right. Multiple cuts.
One has calligraphy.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Mm-hmm. Now, it's hard to tell.
That's what my dad.
Yeah, when your kid is wired that way, it's hard to figure out what to do with it. The sad part is I care less than him about this stuff.
It's hard to take a stand.
Right. On the other hand, there is something... about completing tasks you're not interested in in a timely way and with quality.
Sure. Life is.
That's what life is. When you get a job and you get a job sweeping up at the liquor store, you're not interested in that.
What am I going to do? This is fine, but what am I going to do? The cool stuff. What am I going to stop a robbery?
Right. Yeah. Right. And that's unfortunately where everyone starts. And then I realize that thing that gets you that beginning part, whether it is becoming a physician or becoming a stand-up comedian or completing a documentary, it's the 7/8 at the beginning that suck ass universally for everybody that the guys like Dr. Drew in the world can get past. But everyone else, or most everyone else who announced they'd like to be a doctor, or every 11-year-old girl says, I'm going to be a veterinarian. Then you got to do organic chemistry, and now I'm out.
Now because it's cage that ain't fun.
Even the glamorous jobs, rock star, actor, athlete, like you there are a few, yes, who were born on third base, and God bless them, the Justin Biebers of the world, you know, who achieved success at a super young age. But the vast, vast majority of every name you know, they put in untold hours of work.
And everyone just assumes you just fell out of the sky overnight.
That's right.
Oh my God. The number of people that we cry. I was telling on stage the story of, and I'll give you examples of how it can go any other way. But you know, when I met Jimmy was nobody, and when he did the Bleed and Reseda, the boxing match I coach him for, we had one of the judges was Adam Sandler, and the other was John Wayne Bobbitt. And the guy,
John Wayne Bobbitt, was probably a much bigger name at that point.
Guy got his dick cut off. Yeah. He was literally like a bigger star than Adam Sandler was
In terms of just notoriety, for sure.
And I mean, I'm kind of making a joke, but not really. Like, I wouldn't say he was a bigger star, but Adam Sandler.
At that point, he had a much bigger name.
Well, here's how big a star Adam Sandler was. We could get him to meet us at Reseda at 6:30 in the morning. To judge a boxing match between unknown Jimmy Kimmel and unknown Michael the Maintenance Man. And Sandler was willing to head down to Reseda at 7 a.m. So that's how big a star he was.
A good gauge.
Right. So he had to keep working, I'm guessing, and now he's a multimillionaire. I'm almost sure, Max Zapata, that the Bleed and Reseda was at the country club, and in Reseda, all sorts of bands used to play there back in the day, and I'm pretty sure that was the Boogie Nights place.
Oh.
That was a valley place. Yeah. It was the same size. It was on like Reseda or something.
Talk about the one where they do their dance thing and the and club. The girls doing the dance.
The club. Okay. Like the guy, Mark was washing dishes and Burt Reynolds was hanging out. Yeah, the club. The number one, the place I kept going back and forth to with
Luis Guzman's
place, who I think once I explained to him, he reminded me of my friend Ozzy, and he didn't like it.
Wasn't thrilled about that?
Yeah, but when you're 5 foot nothing and you sort of built like a troll, like how much offense?
Right.
I bet Ozzy would be offended if he heard if I said you look like Luis Guzman. Like, okay.
Get your eyes checked.
I'll see if I can find it. It's interesting. But I back in the day, I mean, I saw like Oingo Boingo there and like the waitresses and I think I saw the waitresses and the busboys.
The whole crew.
That's right.
The sous chefs.
Yeah, the bouncers.
The line cooks.
Should be a band called The Bouncers.
Yeah.
Well, all right. I'll check into that in a second. Anyway, tell you about Z-Clip. Unspoken rule: when you visit New York City, you move your wallet, move it to that front pocket so you don't get the bulge. Then you get the bulge up front, and that's always weird, especially when you see guys who have the jeans that are worn weird because they wear the wallet in the front. Because
with that white, softer.
They want to get pickpocketed, or they don't want to throw their back out, or whatever it is. Slim down with Z-Clip. More than a money clip, made of carbon fiber and carbon steel. No hinges or magnets, plus RFID protection around your credit card, so people can't rip it off and scan it like they're doing now. They're always looking for a scam. Keeps your money and your identity safe. I have one. I actually have the show logo on it. Very fashionable. Visit zclip.com. Click click on the podcast mic, upper right hand. Use the promo code Adam, get 15% off. It is a really nice item, and it's just one of those, let people know you've arrived when you pull that thing out of your back pocket.
And guess what's
your
coming
front pocket.
Up? What? Father's Day.
Oh, good for Father's Day and graduation gifts as well. And again, zclip.com, get 15% off, use promo code Adam. But just go check it out. It's very nice. Max Brown, sorry.
Yeah. Hot Tracks in Boogie Nights, the disco, is the Reseda Country Club.
There you go.
Hey. There it is.
Yes. Oh, beautiful. Really well maintained, or that's just a weird picture.
Yeah, they said it was kind of deserted and ready for filming, so that's why they picked it.
They had that cool, like, you know, the effect as the camera craned into the movie. There was the neon Marquee. With Boogie Nights. That was how they announced
the
movie.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and
God, that's a great movie.
It's where Dirk Diggler was discovered.
Love that. Thank you. Love that. Love that movie.
Torrance.
And
sorry, it's from Torrance in the movie.
Remember? Oh, right. It's a very local. It's a crazy Valley movie. Everything is in the Valley. All those houses and the stuff up in Hebrew Heights, up in the hills with the firecrackers and Molina and all that stuff. Right. Great. Maybe one of the greatest scenes.
Absolutely.
Intense.
First time I saw that, White Knuckle.
Yep.
White Knuckle.
Just a great 9-minute scene or 7-minute scene or whatever it was with the firecracker.
Sister Christian.
Greatest. Greatest. All right.
This just in, by the way, there is a band called The Bouncers.
Mm.
And they are kind of a ska-ish kind of band. I don't know much about them, but this is The Bouncers. This is their hit song called The Bounce.
What year is this from?
It seems pretty new.
Is that an accordion?
They released albums in 2016, 2015, so I'm thinking they're pretty newish. All right.
My feeling about ska music is...
I can't do this.
It has a little bit of a Hava Nagila vibe.
It's fine. Like, it moves on. Like, you can't go, oh, I hate it. You just go, it's just all the same song, right?
I hate ska music, personally.
Oh, I feel like I like the Specials and the whatever, but it's all, I don't know, is mirror in the bathroom or something.
It's staccato gradient.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll take it over this. Trying to think of what I'll take it over.
We should have a bad music draft. I would take ska over like soca and stuff like that.
In the negative department?
That's crazy,
of
the
bad music. That's crazy talk. That's
you take
crazy
soca over ska? I'm saying of the bad music to listen to, I would take ska.
Oh, you'd rather
soca.
Listen to ska.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Given the choice between like five bad genres of music, dubstep and whatever, I would take ska.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It does.
I think we're all
in
agreement.
We're only confused because you made it like it was a proclamation, like we would disagree with it. I like the Boston's. I like the Specials, and you know those kinds of bands. I don't sit around and it's weird music to sit around and listen to.
Good party.
It's
music.
Sort of good if you're like hitting the heavy bag or something. It's not really chillax music or putz around the house music.
The Boston's probably too. Did it the best.
Who did?
The Boston's definitely.
Well, lots of horns are good, and the staccato thing can be overwhelming a little bit sometimes.
Some big bands like Save Ferris.
Yeah,
they had some good songs.
Yeah, I like it. It's kind of it's kind of punk with horns and whatever, but it's not sit around. I don't know. If you're going on a long airplane flight, you put the buds in. You don't listen to ska. It's funner when you're, like I said, whacking a heavy bag and you need a 2-minute and 40-second song.
If you hear it at Togo's when you're ordering a sandwich, it's okay.
Oh, really? I was about to say that. What? All right, Max Batty, you're going to say something?
Oh, no, I was just saying about ska. Just more often than not, it's not catchy.
But
the ones that are catchy are great.
It's sort of ska is sort of hookless.
Yeah,
faster reggae.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of the in a way. It's like
I like ska less now after hearing all these.
He'll take soca.
Yeah, I might go dubstep.
What is the best ska song?
Well, that's a really good point. I mean.
Well, here's the thing. Hardcore
ska songs is hooky. Hard,
but that's not hardcore ska. Just got a little base of ska. The hard ska is like really staccato.
And I'll bet the hardcore ska guys look down on the Boston and the successful bands, the St. Harris's and the Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Royal Crown Review, Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Jeez.
Let's Go Bowling. Big Fish.
Are they?
Real Big Fish was good.
Cherry Poppin' Daddies is ska?
I don't know.
I think
they
were
Brian's
more
of
swing
offering.
Revival, but I was digging deep for a band of the era.
All right, we got our guest is here. I'm very interested in speaking to our guest. I was talking about him earlier today, Eric Lundgren. The guy's a bit of a genius, wants to save the world, got lots of stuff going for him, and 0.5? He went 999.5 miles on one charge.
Damn.
The Guinness Book holds the Guinness Book of World Records for longest range electric car.
On a 97 BMW 5 Series, so he retrofitted it, obviously.
I'm guessing, you know, for sure. Mm-hmm. But the idea that if he went another half mile, it could have gone 1,000 miles
on
a...
You can't go through life that way.
I guess the Tesla record is like 335.
Wow.
So that's pretty impressive.
Grandma Carolla's saying you didn't go 1,000.
Yeah. That's some judo.
Lots of stuff. Lots of really interesting stuff to talk to him about. So we'll do that in a minute. We got Baldywood. Let me just... a couple things. Somebody tweeted me about Dawson's flooring and that there is vinyl flooring that's put together like wood grain flooring. And Brendan?
Yes.
You have a solution for Dawson's flooring. Quick.
Yeah. So I laid this all in my house. It's called Harmonix. We got it for $1.40 a square foot at Costco. It's super easy. It clicks in. It all comes in, you know, the same size pieces, so like four foot roughly by 6 inches. All you really need is a table saw, crowbar, rubber mallet, and I think it costs like $10, but it's a little flooring kit. It's got a little whip on it.
And is it called Harmonix because it works, helps acoustically?
You know, I don't know why it's called Harmonix, but it's a
all
really
right.
Nice.
Write it down, Dawson. By Thanks. The way, when you're trying to sell something for simplicity, it's like all you really need is a contractor saw. M240 be great, but it can run on 110.
Yeah, we're not picky.
By the way, I have gotten a lot of people reach out to me on email and on Twitter, and a lot of great Corolla fans out there willing to help. So thank you.
I got to say, whether it's I need a place to crash outside of Road Atlanta, or I need some suggestions on flooring, or I need a piece that is going to be like sandcasting or priority casting or whatever they call it over there, like making bespoke metal pieces and stuff. I just put it out to the people. It's the greatest thing ever.
I'm telling you, when I said, hey, these kids can really use your help with this benefit, and we got flooded with toys, this is your audience.
Or something important, like my Lambo needs a piece.
Sure.
This
is a good idea. Hey, if anyone has the cure to cancer, I'm at Bald Brian on Twitter.
Quick Hungarian. Oh yeah, I need someone to volunteer to become our photographer.
Back to the important stuff.
That's right. Well, we're doing we're going to Indianapolis. We're going to be at the Museum of Art, the Tobias Theater, and we need somebody to photograph the red carpet.
We've had really good luck with the photographers coming out to live events.
Totally agree. Had a great gal and she came to Cleveland and Detroit.
Oh, wow.
She brought her mom to Detroit. Or her husband. Oh, her husband. Sorry. And her mom. Anyway.
Was she a great big fat person?
No.
Brian, please.
She was short. No, she was sweet. And she did stuff. I think she did stuff.
Sweet like a caramel apple?
You know what I like? No, but candy. I'll figure out her name. I'll give her thanks.
What if it was candy?
She's a shortish woman.
Jen.
Sweet Jen. Sweet, sweet. Innocent Jen. Shortish Jen, right?
Right.
She's going to...
Jen Prouty.
Delight. She's going to be a photographer for two shows.
That's nice.
I don't know. You know, when you go to the Midwest, you go to Cleveland, Detroit, well, some of these places I travel to, they make some big dudes out there. I mean, these dudes...
Salt timber.
There's a lot of, like,
Hardy
lumberjacky.
Mm-hmm.
You shake their hand. Their hands are so wide.
Mitts.
And she's a little short gal. And she brought her camera, but I think she realized that big old dudes pose, and there's a line of 400 of them, and she's 5 foot one, and she's going to give everyone a triple chin.
Yep.
Because everyone has had 9 beers, they put their arm around, and they go, hey!
Yep.
And then she's going to be down on the ground, making everyone look horrible. She brought a little stool.
Smart.
She brought it. She brought her little stool. She set her little stool up, and she stood on it.
Go Jen.
And then she took everyone's more flattering picture.
I love Jen.
That's somebody who is interested in their job, even when they're not getting paid. She's like, I take pictures. I want these pictures to come out.
That's the hair and makeup person who brings the styptic pencil.
Styptic.
It's part of your job, for God's sake.
Stiff dick. Write down stiff dick. All right. So anyway, somebody had a thing with
Hungarian food.
Yeah, Hungarian food. Sorry. Attila?
Yes.
How do we say your name?
Attila.
Attila, how are you? You're Hungarian?
Good. Yes, I was born in Hungary. I lived there for 17 years, and I'm the same age as you. And by the way, happy birthday to you in a couple of days.
Thanks.
Wanted to bring up a couple of issues, because I keep hearing you talking about the Nokedli, but you keep mispronouncing it, no cattle, like it's bovine.
I don't say it like I'm making fun of English-speaking people. No cattle is what my grandfather called it.
No, it's never been called that. It's Nokedli.
He called it no cattle, and he wouldn't say paprika. He'd say paprikash. Like he's saying,
well, it's paprika. Yes, paprikash. Exactly.
Paprikash. I mean, he'd say chicken paprikash.
But see, Nokedli is spelled N-O-K-E-D-L-I, and the Hungarian always pronounces the O as an O, or E as an A, and the I as an E. So it's always Nokedli. That's the way I grew up with, and that's the way everybody's...
This is interesting to you and me only, but it's still kind of interesting, which is, I was just a little kid from North Hollywood, so whatever my grandfather said...
Sure. That's what it is.
That's what I call
You're
it.
You're going to challenge his knowledge of Hungarian food?
I remember being a kid. I remember being a kid, like being at people's house and saying, like, you have paprika? And they'd go, you mean paprika?
Yeah.
And I'd go, yeah. I mean, my grandfather says paprika, like that. And then he would say chicken paprikash.
Right.
And I have a few of his dishes, I have to think back on them now. But either way, this is what he said. So I wouldn't, he wasn't saying no kettle-y the entire time, and I was just mispronouncing it. I was only parroting what he said. Like, he told me a Hungarian tongue twister. You speak Hungarian, right?
Yes.
It was about the priest who smoked a wooden pipe, and it was a priestly wooden pipe. And it
yes, I can tell you that one.
All right, should we do it together?
Yes.
Well, I know if you can follow, but it's the ipafoy
pop, not a pop five on to high ipafoy puppy peep puppy puppy pop.
Well, it's a little bit longer than that.
You do it. Do it.
Okay, the ipafoy pop knock foppy pie one metas ipafoy foppy pa as poppy foppy pa.
That was pretty
that was awesome.
Just know what Adam just did.
That's amazing. Hey, Adam, do it one more time. Please.
Ipafoy pop knock poppy pie one ipafoy puppy peepa puppy foppy pa. Some version of that. But it was a priest with a wooden pipe, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, fopipa means a wooden pipe, and ipafo is a city, and the pop is a priest. So when you put it all together, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But
it would have been kind of fun if we had a fucking video game instead of crazy old Hungarian guy boring me
well,
to death.
Is
it a priest? Yeah, he had a pipe. Okay. What was it made out of? Wood?
Where did he live?
Oh, wasn't a corn cob pipe? No. What village did he live in? Okay.
Did he live in Sacramento? No.
You know how many hours we had to discuss this before I could learn half of that? And by the way, I'm 54. You think this stuff is since I was, nine. So I've probably lost half of it. But we did not have basic cable.
Is the point.
Sorry.
Adam?
Yes, recommendations on Hungarian food.
Yeah, if you want to order authentic Hungarian meats, they're making them in Illinois in Vernon Hills by Hungarians. It's called Bende. The company name is Bende.com. B-E-N-D-E.
Mm-hmm.
And you order the sausages, the salamis, or the smoked pork loin, and it's all smoked and cooked, so you don't even have to cook it. Just
Does your wife cook for you?
No, I'm not married. I live over here in Ormond Beach, Florida.
Good.
It's funny when you talk about Floridians or Germany, because there's a lot of nutcases over
yeah.
here.
Do you feel like, I feel like a Hungarian, like, tell me if this is true. Like, all we do is talk about, people judging and profiling and categorizing and marginalizing. When you're Hungarian, how do people react? Like, because if you hear someone's Armenian, you go, I got some preconceived notions about you. Yeah. If you heard they're Russians, you'd have some. If you heard they're Sweden, heard they're Mexican, you have some. Hungarians just got to be people just kind of throwing their hands up, right? Like, okay, well, there you go. did we fight you in World War II?
I mean, like Arnold Schwarzenegger? No, yeah. He's Austrian.
Like, what? Do you ever get discriminated against? Does anyone ever yell, oh, it's just like a Hungarian to be late?
No, actually, most people don't even know where it is. And what I used to get is a lot of stupid jokes as far as, oh, I'm hungry too. You know, like,
that's
pretty good.
And then what do we, what a Hungarian. Now, my grandfather, one time, my grandfather would just tell stories and tell stories and tell stories. And he was a writer, so I thought that's what he does. But then at some point, somebody told me there was a study that the Hungarians were the greatest storytellers, per capita, like told the most
interesting
stories. And they're very, they like language. Is that a fair statement?
I think you could say that. We have a lot of common sayings that... It's a fun riddle, but it's kind of true that fits life. But as far as your grandfather goes, I wanted to mention to you that his name is spelled with the two O's, so both of them would be spelled pronounced the same way. So it would be Gorog, I believe, or Görög if he had two accent marks on top of the O's that he may have removed for spelling purposes. But he would be pronounced the same way, not Gorog like you do it. It's Gorog.
You want to Americanize it.
That's how they did it. They did Helen and Laszlo Gorog, which spells the same forward and backward, by the way.
Right.
And people, I have a lot of friends that have traveled all through Europe, and the consensus is that Budapest is one of the most amazing cities that everyone must visit, that nobody knows they must visit.
Yes, it's actually the Paris of the East, and most people are changing their plans. Instead of going to Paris, now they're coming to Budapest,
which is my dad
right now is over there visiting, and my brother is over there.
Give me some good crazy names, like my grandfather's brother, Bela, and his wife.
How about Zsa-Zsa?
His sister, Bougie. And Zsa-Zsa's pretty good. Gabi.
To be honest with you. Yeah, Zsa-Zsa was not Zsa-Zsa. It's actually a Zsuzsa. It's an abbreviation of Zsuzsanna. It sounds better here for people to say Zsa-Zsa. And Gábor is another first name, but you could use it as a last name.
Hey, Attila, do me a favor. Don't hang around with black guys. Like, what's your name? Naquan. It's not actually Naquan. It's
Naquin.
Quinn. Yeah. It's Nick. Hey, all right, I will think about that while I'm kicking your white ass. Yes.
Actually, black people were not that common in Hungary back then, but if you saw one, you would feel lucky. They were just there studying to go back to Africa and be doctors stuff.
They're not leprechauns.
You got to rub the belly.
You got to catch one.
Give me a couple crazy names, and we'll let you go.
Like Jose or Mihai, Zoltan... Bela, like you say, Laszlo.
Everyone called my grandfather Lotzi. Is that pretty common for short?
Lotzi, yeah. Lotzi is the nickname for Laszlo, actually.
Thank you.
There you go.
I did that math.
And Attila is a very popular name over there. It's named after the Attila the Hun.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But
it translates to boring collar.
Yeah, thank you.
It translates to actually.
All right, get ready
with
your Baldywood. I'll tell you about the Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club delivers everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. Shampoo, conditioner, body wash, toothpaste, hair gel, even butt wipes. I'm a big fan of their Dr. Carver's Shave Butter. I actually used it this morning in the shower. Use it in the shower. Get that steam going. All products are made with top-shelf ingredients that won't break your budget. I tell you, I use their razor, their handle, the cartridge, the shave butter. You'll never go back to whatever it is you are currently using, especially the real stuff that's mostly all puff and air. Plus, shipping is included with your membership, so check it all out at Dollar Shave Club. How about it, Dawson?
Here's a great way to try a bunch of Dollar Shave Club's products. For just $5, you can get their Daily Essentials Starter Kit. It comes with Blotty Cleanser, One Wipe Charlie's, their amazing butt wipes, their world-famous shave butter, and their best razor, the Six-Blade Executive. Keep the blades coming for a few more bucks a month and add in shampoo, toothpaste, or anything else you need for the bathroom. Check it all out at dollarshaveclub.com/Adam. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Adam.
All right. I'm very interested in speaking to our guest. He's a super interesting dude. But first, we'll do
first we'll get through
this. Bollywood. Yeah.
Hooray for Bollywood. He will tell you if a movie's good. Brian will review the flicks that he's seen up on the big screen or in his Netflix queue. Before you spend bucks, remember his taste sucks. He loved that train wreck piece of shit, Transformers 2. Hooray for Bollywood!
Deadpool 2 is in theaters now. It is the number one movie in theaters after a $301 million opening weekend. It's directed by David Leitch. David Leitch was a stunt coordinator, like a fight choreographer, stunt coordinator for many years. Finally got the chance to direct, unofficially, John Wick. He directed John Wick, although he wasn't the credited director. There's some weird story there. I don't know what it is. He also directed Atomic Blonde. You guys see Atomic Blonde?
No, the Charlize
Theron? Yeah. Saw bits and pieces
fun
of
movie.
It. Seemed like I got it. Like I got what that movie was.
Oh, yeah. It's an hour and 45 minutes of her kicking ass.
Right. Like a female James Bond.
Yeah, Jason Bourne, maybe. Isn't oh. but exactly. Right. Of course, Ryan Reynolds returns as Deadpool. Josh Brolin joins the cast as Cable. Julian Dennison, who you remember as the kid from The Hunt from the Wilder People. Can I say this about
Atomic Blonde?
What's that?
And other movies of its ilk. A lot of Bruce Willis movies start this way. It's a weird message to send to kids. Like, you know, we do this thing where it's like, well, we don't want them smoking. They're glamorized. They're smoking. When you see those kind of movies like Atomic Blonde, so it's the same thing. Like, they get up in the morning. They pour themselves like a shot of vodka. Take a shot of vodka. Then they light a cigarette.
Breakfast of champions.
Then they walk into the bathroom and they're shredded. Yeah. And it's like, I want to tell kids, if you start every morning with a cigarette and a shot of vodka, you don't look like that in your underpants.
Yeah.
I know guys who don't take care of themselves. They don't look like that. It's always.
And then Sonny says, what about Ray?
Yeah. Bruce Willis would always do that in like the 90s movies where it's like, give me another beer. Yeah. And God, I can't quit smoking. It's like, I never see him work out. It's just shredded
all the
time.
James Bond is, as far as I can tell, exists on gin vodka martinis.
Yeah.
And the guy is in peak shape.
He ate a little caviar once in a while on a cracker.
Right. Protein.
You're right about
Go ahead.
So the kid from The Hunt from Wilder People is in this, and as well as the girl from the last movie, Brianna Hildebrandt, Tom Negasonic Teenage Warhead, and Tisha Miller, of course, and they bring in Zazie Beetz plays Domino, who I quite enjoyed. 83% of Rotten Tomatoes. The last movie was 83% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
So you got to figure with the sequel curve, people are a little harder on the sequel. This is a pretty up there movie with the first one. So Deadpool is now, at this point, we open up. Deadpool is an internationally renowned hitman, a mercenary. He's a well-known superhero. He goes out and he kills people around the world. Before, he had just sort of become Deadpool, and now he's a famous dude who kills people. And then he decides to join the X-Men. Remember, you guys saw the last movie, right?
It was great.
They were trying to get him to join the X-Men, and his whole thing was like, I'm not part of that team. And here, he joins reluctantly under a trainee basis, and they make him wear like a trainee badge or a shirt. It's pretty funny. And here's his first mission with the X-Men. They go to a rehabilitation center for young mutants, like sort of like, you know, one of those Christian conversion places where they try to get you not to be gay or whatever it is. So he goes to one of these to respond to an emergency. Some mutant, this kid is raising hell, you know, attacking the staff, and they're brought in to a defuse situation.
You want to die?
This kid's adorable. I don't know why I packed the hollow points.
I'll burn your balls off!
Did you just say hollow points?
Yeah. Probably should have brought a super soaker.
Hi there.
Stay back, or Justin Bieber dies.
Justin Bieber, he called you Justin Bieber.
Wait. Okay, let's not do whatever that is. Okay, let's just
flaming
talk.
Hands.
It's Russell, right?
Throwing fireballs.
Fire fist.
Fire fist. Ooh, that's a great name. Where does it burn? Just the fist or all the way up to the elbow? Oh, definitely all the way up to the elbow.
Come quietly, or there will be trouble.
You stole that from RoboCop.
That's from RoboCop. Just stand down. You're embarrassing me. Look, fire fist. Fire fist.
Oh, my God. I can't say it. I'm so sorry.
Another
big Russian bat.
Oh, yeah. My God. This looks so good.
It's, you get from this clip that it has everything that made the original Deadpool special. And the thing that made Deadpool special was he breaks the fourth wall. He talks to the audience. He's irreverent.
He's not precious about his
character. Yeah, exactly. He's not so self-serious, like Gina said. He makes fun of other superhero movies and the whole idea of superhero movies. Like, it's absurd to be sitting here watching movies based on comic books, and yet here we are, and Deadpool at least is acknowledging this. He's like, isn't it crazy that we're all here doing this?
It's what we should have done with Monday Night Football and the sporting world, and we've done it a little bit, But somebody should have figured this out a long time ago. They haven't really figured it out with sports. There's still some reverence kind of thing. There's a couple of shows where, you know, Shaq's cracking wise with Sir Charles or something. But, I mean, in general, it's a comic book. Let's have some fun.
Yes. Yeah.
This should have started years ago. Yeah. Now it's the only path, which is
it's all stuff to do.
It's all got to be tongue in cheek and whatever. And they all have to have a sense of humor. And it, remember, they kind of like with football, it's like, let's put Dennis Miller up in the booth.
That one will work.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
no.
Sports should all be this way, too.
Yeah. You can't have joking with this game.
You have like Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, and like these are the two most serious guys in the world. Like saying, oh, even if they're not, they can't screw around.
Yeah.
I feel that sports should go the same as these movies are infinitely better now that they've infused all this humor.
I totally agree.
I don't care about the genre at all, but I care about funny movies. I care about spoofs.
So the last movie, the original Deadpool, resonated with audiences to the tune of $363 million. That was a huge hit domestically and internationally. Surprised it. The budget was like, I don't know, $50 million or something. It was small for one of these movies. And it landed because it was refreshing. Because, it, like you said, it took the only path that was left, which is let's have fun. Let's go down a different road. Usually when you say for a sequel, it's more of the same. It's more of the same. That's a bad thing. Here, it's a good thing. This is more of the same. And they introduced new characters, fun characters. I liked Cable. I liked Domino. I liked the kid. I liked all these characters. And it's more of the same, which in this case, is a good thing. It's fun. It's enjoyable. Most sequels are bad. I mean, that's just, you know, of all the sequels made in the world, most will be bad. A few will be good, and a very small few will be better than the original.
Well, it's a halcyon days for sequels, because I grew up with Jaws 2, and they just make 2, and the
two
is literally just, we have the name, we own the rights to the name, just put Jaws in front of something and draw a shark and just throw
make
it out there. There wasn't even an attempt. It was not even an attempt. Now, they realize, oh, this is a franchise, and we have standards.
Yeah,
because there's going to be a 3, a 4, and a 5. Right.
Yeah, if we're careful with this, it can go a long time.
Right.
So there's some fun cameos. I won't spoil them, but be on the lookout for those. For people going to see it, there are some fun after-credit sequences, some scenes after the credits. Stay until you see the cast start to roll, because then it's over, but don't want to miss anything. But otherwise, I do recommend this movie. It's fun. It's enjoyable. If you like the first Deadpool, you got to see this one.
Sweet.
Hooray for Bollywood!
Hi, Paulie. I'm going to put you on the spot. They both have an 83 on Rotten Tomatoes. How do you break the tie, first and second?
Tell me if this is not fair.
Give the first one a number, and the second one a Rotten Tomatoes number.
Okay. This might not be fair. You tell me if you think it's fair or not. I give the first one... I love the first one. I'll give you a 95. I loved it. Second one, I enjoyed it. It wasn't as fresh to me. Everything that happened, I was like, that's good. That's what I expect. Right. Whereas where Deadpool was like, I've not seen a superhero movie like this. I'm loving this fresh change. This one was like, oh, good. This is exactly what I'm hoping for. 85.
Okay.
95, 85.
Makes sense. All right. Let's see. Eric Lundgren's out there.
Not a criticism of the second movie itself.
I get it.
It's just we've seen the surprise now.
Yeah, all movies have that element. Because there is a small percent. If they made Borat 2,
exactly,
you would be very familiar with the character.
And it might be hilarious, but
and
you know,
what they did.
You know the concept.
Not shocking.
But there's an element of that. It's basically why men want to bang strangers instead of their wives.
I just said that. I had it written down.
Yeah, well, nothing personal. We want new.
Fresh meat.
Yeah, thank you. Let me tell you about the Castrol Edge, and then we'll get on with the show here. Castrol Edge, I got a little challenge for you. You can tweet us your questions. I think we have one. Formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction and maximizes engine performance three times stronger against viscosity breakdown than the leading full synthetic. What's the question, Max Pata?
This one comes from Instagram at Brian's Instashots. Hashtag Castrol Challenge Ace. Does it do any damage to the tranny to coast it neutral downhills? Thanks.
There's something. We'll talk to our guest about it. He must have done this with his electric car. Well, there's something called hypermiling, where you do things like, I don't know, roll up all your car windows. Don't have your windows down. You know, when you start coast, you know, try to time the signal and put it in neutral and coast or whatever. I think the answer is no. I've done it my Jag quite a few times when the indicator read 0 miles left on your fuel tank. I would say you could do damage if you re-engaged it, if you're going down a hill and you started coasting at 90 miles an hour and then you thought, I'm going to just put it back and drive. That could possibly cause some damage. If you were coasting and getting slower as you were coasting, and even if you're sped up, it probably can work it out. But the answer is, I don't think so. No, and I've done it, but I would not get going at a very high rate of speed and then drop it back into drive. That could possibly cause some damage. All right, we will take ourselves a break, and then we'll do some good sports, and then we'll bring in a guy I'm very interested in speaking to, electronics recycling inventor and many other things, Eric Lundgren, right after this.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the Friday episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Reminder, as always, go listen to some NFL noise by me and Matt Money Smith and all the other people on the Dave Damashek football program, available on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and however else you choose to consume it. Go download it. Do your old pal Dave a favor. All right, Ace, it's Friday, and I promised it on the last Good Sports that I would give you a creep of the week. So let's get to it, Gary. Creep, creep, creep of the week, of the week. He or she is the creep of the week. I tipped my hand there a little bit, Ace.
It is a she pretty hard.
It is a she. It's a woman. And she sang about a he, a mysterious he, Carly Simon. Late 70s, I'm guessing.
Early, I think it's about 70s.
Early 70s.
Well, you're so vain?
Yeah, she spoke. Yeah, you. She spoke about,
oh,
I don't know, you.
That's probably 73, 74. That's,
whenever
that's
it was, she floated this mystery that lasted for decades. I think it's finally been resolved who she was talking about there. But let the people, let the youngsters
people
know.
Well, people know it's Dave Coulier. Am I mixing my stories up?
Yeah, I think that's a different pop.
She blew him in a theater, right?
Carly Simon blew Dave Coulier?
That's what I heard.
I think you have. Well, I'm not.
I may
positive.
Be mixing Alanis Morissette up. I got to check it out. But okay.
Give me a little taste of Carly's number here.
He walked into the party like you were walking onto a yacht.
There's Carly. Fine. She was with. Who was she all with? Warren Beatty, Mick Jagger, all these guys she was with. Back in, but it's You're So Vain. A couple of things I feel like I have to point out here. One, as a vain person, speaking on behalf of the vain community, narcissists think a song is about them. You're so vain, you think this song is about you? No, that's what a narcissist, that's right. How they operate. A vain person merely wishes the song was about them. You see, that's a key distinction. Carly needs, not unlike Alanis Morissette, needs to figure. She didn't understand the word irony. Carly doesn't understand the word vanity versus narcissism. The bigger issue I have is, though, this is her signature song. You're so vain. How vain are you? You're so vain, you probably think this song is about you. Hey, Carly, guess what? He's right. The song is about him. You're singing a whole song about how vain you are because you think this song is about you. Yeah, aren't I right? You're singing this song. You're saying you and saying it to me. Isn't the song about whoever it's about?
Now you sound like Sonny.
I was very pleased with this revelation that I had.
What year? I agree. What year is that? 72. I tell you, it's an old song. Number one. Number two, Gary, look up the difference between narcissism and vain. Because narcissism, I agree, is more deep-seated, and vain feels a little more on the surface.
I think it has much more to do with. I personify vanity.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to. I hope you think I'm. I hope you think good things about me. Doesn't mean I don't think that. Well, the world surely knows of my greatness, right? Mm-hmm. That's narcissism to the exclusion of negativity and everything else. What, that person doesn't think I'm a genius? Irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
That's narcissism.
Gary has it.
Which one would you like first?
Give me, well, why don't you give us both and we'll see if we can figure it out.
Okay, Dylan's got one.
Narcissism.
No.
Thank you.
Narcissism.
Well, we were going to guess if we could figure it out by the description, but all right, here we go.
Narcissism is an excessive work.
Why don't you get on the mic there?
Gary, just do both.
I don't have the other one pulled up, but I will in a second. Having... having or showing an excessively high opinion of one's appearance, abilities, or worth.
That feels veiny.
No, right. See, that I bet you that's narcissism. Give me vanity.
And then your other one is excessive or erotic interest in oneself and one's physical appearance.
Oh, well, that's vanity, yeah.
Actually, no, you guys are both wrong.
What?
The first one was vanity, the second one was narcissism.
Oh, I said vanity for the first one. But yeah. Where, the narcissism, you get an erotic interest in yourself?
Excessive or erotic interest in oneself and one's physical appearance is the first one that comes up.
Interest in yourself? All right, well, I'm sideways. And for showing me up like that, Gary, hard right turn here. You're the creep of the week. Taste it. Enjoy it. Go ahead, do it again to yourself. Thank you. All right. Anyway.
Let me ask you this.
I guess I have not understood.
I got two questions for you.
Yes.
It's a Carly Simon question. Carly Simon had frizzy hair, as we call it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that's what we call it.
Yeah. She had hair like Leslie Abrams or whatever.
Robert Plant.
Yeah, Robert Plant hair. She had hair that was like the Menendez brothers' attorney, yeah. OJ attorney.
Leif Garrett.
And then they straightened it out.
Right.
Okay. Is there a woman? I'm gonna give you an A or B. Is there a woman who doesn't look better when they straighten out their hair? When they go from the curly, you know, shoulder length blonde frizzy hair to shoulder length blonde straight hair? And is there, conversely, is there a woman who looks better with a short bob haircut versus longer hair? Like you can say, oh well. Sharon Stone, when she was 32, looked amazing with that short hair. Right. But not better than when her hair was long.
I definitely am with you on the first point. I'm 100% with you on that. Every woman is better with straight versus the natural frizz.
Okay.
Or, you know, self-imposed permanent that they put on their hair. The short hair one, I feel like I need to figure out that there's got to be some examples in there. Of somebody who was, oh, she's attractive. Oh, she got, oh, wow, did you see her? She's foxy now. There's got to be
find
some.
It. I can't find it.
There's got to be some pixie.
You got to see Rachel Maddow in high school. She had like long blonde hair.
Is that actually true?
Somebody tweeted me like a picture of Rachel Maddow in high school. It looked like she was rushing a sorority. And
who are famous women that had short hair? Audrey Hepburn?
Yeah. And I don't know if there's any pictures of her with long hair.
That's Rachel Maddow? What? That's a picture of Rachel Maddow? She's lovely.
She's a hot blonde with that long blonde hair.
String of pearls and everything.
All I'm saying is you got to find one. You people listening can tweet me. Now, it's not that...
I'm trying to think.
It's not beautiful with a bob haircut. It looks better than they would have looked with shoulder length hair.
I completely get it. There are going to be some smarties that try to disprove it by volunteering. Oh, yeah, well, she was great. Well, she was so hot at 25. But yes, compared to when she was 26 and her hair grew back out. Yes. That's what you're getting at.
Just the same person, long hair and short hair. Natalie Portman.
Oh, Natalie Portman, very foxy in what's the movie that Closer?
Very foxy, and Dylan brought up Natalie Portman. Gary brought up Dylan. I felt like a Dylan call. Super beautiful with short hair, no doubt, but still the argument is better looking with the short hair than the long hair. I don't know. It's as close as you'll get to a push or a tie or whatever as there is. But if you were going to be with Natalie for one night, by the way, where's she on my ranking of women that don't want to have sex with me? She's top three for sure, right?
This is one of your best.
That's a little glimpse into my self-esteem. I don't have a list of women I'd like to bed. I have a list of women who would never stop vomiting if they had sex with me. She's a perennial all-star on that list. Every once in a while, they slough off, but she's not going anywhere.
She would not be fascinated by anything you have to say. She really wouldn't. Natalie Portman would not indulge with your worldview for 4 minutes. Yeah, you're right.
No, she would be doing the ALS challenge with Purell for the next 100 years.
I just thought of one. I can't think of her name. The singer, though. Taylor Swift's nemesis. She was with Russell Brand. She performed
Katie
at the Super
Bowl. No.
Katy Perry.
No.
Is that bad?
That's bad.
She's a fox.
As of the latest list, Natalie Portman, surprisingly low, 39.
39?
38.
Well, we gotta get up in the top
Katie
20 for
Perry
sure.
Katy Perry is not considered foxy with the short hair?
Not nearly as foxy as the long hair.
And then she went
with the weird coloring and blah, blah, blah. And as I've always said about Katy Perry, she looks like she's thinking about something stupid. She looks like she...
You can add her to that list now, Gary, because if she hears...
She looks like she bit into a stupid jawbreaker. Like she just went and got a flavor burst of stupid. Like she just has a look like I'm thinking about something dumb. I'm not saying she's dumb.
No.
I didn't say she's... I like when somebody calls you an ass and goes, I didn't call you an ass. I said you're acting like an asshole. I do love that person that likes to walk back that. No. I never called you an ass.
I said
you were constantly acting like an asshole, but I did not call you an ass.
I said that was a dipshit remark. I did not say that
you were dipshit.
Goes back to apologizing for things without really having to apologize at all. All right, listen. Fine. See, there's a picture of her. Blonde and short hair. She looks nice.
Okay.
All right. So suit yourself. Put her on the list, both short hair and long.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's it for this week of Hot Sports Talk. And next week, even more good stuff on the way for you. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, Good Sports, Podcast One Sports, out! Good Sports!